That's recording. This has been my whole day. I just choked myself by stepping on the headset wire.
Oh, that's not good.
I don't know how many walls I ran into. And then there's like a big patio at work, and we were like setting up all the cushions and stuff so people could come out and sit. And I'm like bringing cushions to chairs from the thing, and I'll be damned if the wind the wind blew at the right time and pulled the rug up from the ground, and it was like I hit a wall, and I'm old, so I tried to like fucking stop myself and shit, which really just made the fall last so much longer and so much more painful.
That's funny.
And I turn around and my coworker's like, should you be here today? No. This is it. I am a body. I am a warm body.
I should never be here. Can you hear that lightning and thunder?
Oh, are you having a storm?
Yeah, it's a pretty good one.
Fantastic.
So,
well,
we already lost power once. So.
Oh, no.
More power to us.
More power to you.
Well, that's cool. So, is this like the intro?
Sure. Yeah.
Is this what we're doing now?
Yeah. This is pretty much what we always do. We just shoot the shit for a minute. Yeah.
Well, welcome. And we're off.
And we're off. Yep, that's the end.
Enjoy the episode.
Well, no. We are interviewing.
No, don't enjoy the episode.
For fuck's sake.
I said enjoy the episode, and then you go, no. And I said, well, don't enjoy the episode then. But still listen, download, and subscribe.
Yes, and we are interviewing an alt-rock progressive experimental type band. I don't really feel like they fit in a genre, but they have great guitar in like every song. I was feeling that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited to talk to them today.
They represent all genres at least at one point in each song.
I dig it.
Pretty involved.
And I like it when people come to us. Come to me. You know you want to. All right. So tell us who each of you are and what you play.
Okay. I'm Dustin Vandehei. I play guitar.
I'm Riley Holland. I play bass.
And your drummer, who's not here, is
Brian Wilson.
Was he with the Beach Boys earlier?
Yeah, he's been around a while.
Yeah, he's been around for a real long time. We just love that.
Possibly a vampire. We've never been able to tell for sure.
Yeah.
Well, he's not out now, is it? Is
throw
it,
him out in the sunlight. We'll find out.
It's dark and rainy here, so, you know, he's still napping.
He's in his box.
Yeah.
He has not had his evening coffee yet.
Yeah.
And could you pronounce the name of the band for us? Because we feel like we've been butchering it, and we really hate that.
It's Dysgenia.
Oh, I was right.
No, you weren't. You called him Genie.
I did not. He lies. And how did you guys get together?
Yeah, since we're talking about couples and stuff.
Right. Match.com. No.
You can tell.
Yeah, right. Well, I've actually, Riley and I have known each other for about 20 years. So we played in bands in college. But maybe 10 years ago, we were in a cover band playing like Faith No More and Tool and a bunch of other stuff. And, we just didn't really vibe with the drummer and singer. And so we were hanging out one day and thought, well, why don't we do an instrumental band? We'll just kind of clean ourselves, quit this band, and, you know, get these guys out of here. You know, so we started writing some music. And then I think you met Brian somewhere.
Yeah. We had some trouble looking for drummers at first, but also singers. Like, we did look for a little while to see if we could find a singer. And it was just a nightmare.
It was a mess.
Like going on Craigslist to look for a singer. There were just some hysterical ones. Like one guy, I only sing in the key of C.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God.
Another guy, I only sing in my own language that I've created.
Yeah.
In Klingon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another guy owed money to Sharon Osbourne, I think. We just went through just a lot of experiences where it was just like, these people are kind of nuts. And so we ended up meeting with Brian. But prior to that, Riley and I were just kind of hanging out, just kind of coming up with music, just kind of recorded a few little demos. And then, like I said, met Brian and then just started kind of working on stuff. And it's been, you know, a long time coming, but we've kind of made it work and we're still writing new material. And, you know, it's been great for sure.
Did y'all guys know that you're playing on 420?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Is that a coincidence or not, boys?
No, we just
another Thursday.
Just another Thursday in Portland.
How would y'all describe your sound? Is this very interesting?
Maybe I'll say something that Riley can kind of give his opinion to, but I think all three of us listen to a ton of different types of music. Like I grew up listening to Pink Floyd and Jimi Hendrix and Zeppelin, and then
I can definitely hear that in your guitar playing.
Yeah. Then in the 90s, it was Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains and kind of the grunge stuff because I was in Portland. And then just actually the last 10 years, I've been interested in jazz and kind of prog rock and all that. And like talking to these guys, I feel like maybe they have the same interests in music as well. So we're just kind of open to anything. So like somebody will come up with a riff and we'll just kind of work on it. And it just sort of like, it's kind of an amalgamation of all this music that we've probably heard over our entire lives. And we're just kind of not afraid just to kind of go crazy with stuff. Different time signatures, different tempos, super complicated. Try to play stuff that we don't know how to play and it takes forever to learn it. I guess the short answer is, you know, we got elements of Tool. We got elements of Pink Floyd and King Crimson. Pantera, I was a big Pantera.
Black Sabbath.
Yeah, I think we all have amazingly. Oh, speak of the devil.
Yeah, we got Brian here.
Is it dark outside?
What?
Did he show up and it's dark outside?
Yeah, right.
Is Vlad darkening your doorway right now?
Yeah, right.
And does he need permission to come in?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they were asking if you were the Beach Boys fella. We were not totally sure.
Why don't you come right around here so we can
describing our sound, I think that like we have amazingly kind of the same frames of reference, even broadly, like the same meat and potatoes stuff in the center, just like metalheads and stuff as kids. But then like I think when we were auditioning drummers, we did Schism.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, and it was a good just kind of benchmark for if we'd we're into the same stuff and ability a little bit. You knew it right away, basically. So it's nice.
Sort of.
But I mean, well enough. Part of that song is deceptively hard.
Yeah.
Like the bridge part.
Yeah.
But if you know, we say stuff like progressive metal or progressive instrumental. That's a little frustrating sometimes because I think a lot of people don't know that that's a musical genre. They think we mean like politically progressive or something.
Yeah.
Like it gets sort of confusing. It's hard to describe like psychedelic metal sometimes. It's all kind of arbitrary.
Yeah. And then we were thinking we were like post-rock for a while, but we don't use enough echo and reverb pedals to really be that. So I don't know, we just kind of come at this with kind of whatever we feel like playing, and you know, that's just kind of how we do it. And that's kind of the nice part of not having a singer is we don't have to be in a certain key. You know, we can play songs as long as we want, and, you know, it just seems to work out.
Hey, the one thing I noticed about y'all guys' sound is it's really punchy. You know, when you have all of your changes, you normally go to a pretty punchy thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you transition in and out. So I really like that about what y'all were doing. So that was cool. There's not a whole bunch of people doing that right now. If they are, they're so underground that their music hasn't even made it out of the city they're in, you know?
Right.
So it's cool that y'all guys are kind of trying to push out and get out a little bit further.
Yeah, and I think, typically we try to write music that's pretty dynamic. So sort of ebbing and flowing, a little chaotic in some areas and maybe a little more mellow in certain areas. And even if some of the new stuff we're writing, it's kind of the same way, just really dynamic and just, you know, so when you say punchy, that's kind of the way I see it. It's just kind of intense and then not as intense either. So
the other thing I noticed, some of y'all's stuff reminded me of the Grateful Dead, not necessarily the tone or the music itself, but there are parts when you're making transitions to another section, it's like the bass will propose an idea And then y'all will gravitate to it. That's what it sounds like to me. Like someone's putting out an idea and then the other guys are flocking to it. And that's kind of like, that's what it sounds like to me when y'all are making your transitions in your songs, where someone's throwing out an idea and y'all are like, okay, let's go. You know, and then you just start beating the shit out of your drums, man.
Yeah. Well, Riley's the only one here who actually knows how to play the instrument, so we just kind of come on.
Or Riley.
Yeah.
Definitely not true.
I was going to say.
Yeah, well, he's a vampire. He's had a lot of time.
Yeah, right. Well, Brian's got, you know, some music degree under his belt a little bit, some classes. So he's the one who reads music and everything.
And then forces us to.
But yeah, we've definitely sort of figured it out. Because I think we've been doing this for 10 years almost.
That was my next question. Yeah. How long have you been together?
Yeah.
We started in 2014.
Yeah.
We took about a year and a half off during the pandemic.
Yeah. Couldn't do anything. We just had Zoom beer chats usually.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Practice. So.
Let's talk about one of the songs. Let's talk about The Other. I personally liked the beginning, which was very eerie. Yeah. What were you using for that sound?
So that sound came kind of by accident. I was just messing around in my apartment one day and I had the wah pedal up to where it gives that kind of like that bassy sound. And then I had the delay pedal on and I kind of swelled my guitar at the same time. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. I think I might've had some like German techno music playing way in the background. And it had this kind of like weird tonal sound to it. I don't know why it was on. I think I just had like Pandora on or something. And, for whatever reason that like clicked in my mind, like that weird sound. So just started kind of working on it and wrote it, and you know, sort of the rest is history. I think I brought it in and we all three wrote the rest of the song.
Yeah, that was the first thing we wrote, all three of us together.
It's got kind of like a Phrygian dominant sound to it, like once you get past the swells. Yeah, we just kind of built it from there, and yeah, it's been a good one for sure.
It had some like elements of like that, I guess people are calling it nightmare jazz now. But it had that kind of element to it. And I actually really enjoyed the guitar in that. And that song is not the first song I'm going to say this about. That song feels like two songs.
So the thing I like about that song is it starts out like with a real Black Sabbath feel to it. And then it transitions to something very funky. And that's cool. But the best part of it is when you have that awesome walk up. It's about 3 minutes into it. It's almost a solo. I like that part. And then you even have a Latin feel to it. You know, you have about 34 changes in that song.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
My question is why not 35?
We don't want to get excessive.
Yeah, I can't count that high either. So
there actually was other stuff when we were originally writing it that we decided not to include because we had enough.
He was like 30, 35 is too much. We should.
Yeah, right.
Well, I was actually counting.
Shut up, Brent.
Because no, I was. I got to 5 changes and I was like, okay, I need to go back and listen. So then, and then when I got up to like, I don't know, 30, I was just like, forget it.
The part I like the most about that song is the bass solo.
Yeah, I'm playing like a little bit of a cleaner, kind of like that Latin part you were saying. I'm doing like kind of a clean guitar part and Riley's soloing over that. That sounds really nice.
Yeah, that was cool. I'd never done it because I was originally a guitar player too, but I always wanted to do more bass in a band because like Black Sabbath, you mentioned, I was obsessed with the Beatles as a kid. So those are two guitar players who became bass players who were super dynamic in what they were doing. And then Tool, of course, where the bass was like second guitar a lot of the time and they interact differently. But I'd never written a bass solo, but I was obsessed with Opeth at that time. And I spent that bass player, I forget his name, but that thing is fucking awesome.
Just ripping it.
I think I was trying to channel a little bit of that.
Thank you.
first song you wrote together. That's really impressive. That's a pretty big song. There's a lot going on in that.
Yeah. And it's probably at least one of my favorites to play live just because it's so all over the place.
So that's a good question. Do you prefer writing or playing live?
Playing live when I don't suck. But I think just in my opinion, just a combination of both. I mean, we try to play live mostly spring and summer, and then we'll sort of take fall. Maybe we'll gig in the fall a little bit and then take the winter off to write new music. I mean, writing music is just something we're kind of always doing to some degree. So that's kind of it's not really an either or. It's just something, you know, I kind of enjoy doing both of.
Is it the same for you too?
Yeah, well, that's kind of a new balance that we've struck to do sort of like almost seasonal. And that works really well for me because after you play, even if they're great shows, after you play enough, it's sort of like we're only practicing the songs in the set because we have to just stay sharp. So we're not really working on new stuff much.
Yeah.
And it gets a little repetitive and you get a little tired of just lugging stuff around and sound check and stuff like that. So then it's perfect to hibernate and just completely work on new stuff. But then you get the itch after a while of that to get out and play again. So it's just a nice rhythm.
Yeah. You know? And especially like when we first got started, like we were playing probably 2 times a month. When you get started, I mean, especially in Portland, I mean, it's kind of hard to get an audience. And so you're playing a lot of empty rooms, you know. But now, you know, it's like right after the pandemic, I think things have gotten better. We're playing more weekend show. It's not like, oh, come here and play Tuesday at 11 o'clock at some bar that nobody's going to go to. Now we're doing mostly like Friday, Saturday shows.
So let's talk about another song. Duodenum. Why am I suck? Guys, I've had a long week, so bear with me. My tongue is.
Just call it small intestine.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I want to talk about that, and especially to you, drummer man. That has a really interesting time signature to me. It's almost like stuttery. Like, how did you come up with that, and how do you keep pace with that in a pretty long song?
I think for the most part, Riley wrote that one, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I just played along with what he had written, I think, for the most part.
Like the intro of that song is kind of all over the map, and I don't know, it's just, we've played that probably a million times, and, you know, eventually kind of pick it up over time and could actually play it.
Yeah, it's funny that it's so easy now.
Yeah, because it doesn't sound easy. I was like, man, because there's counting that you're not hearing being played. That takes both sides of a brain. I couldn't do it.
It was that way at first, and I think eventually we got to a point that we don't really have to count anymore. It's all just muscle memory.
Right, yeah, because like writing, I wrote like the main part in the beginning, I guess, just on bass. And then some of the later parts, I think you had kind of pieced together.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember. It's been a long time.
But it was like based on feel, sort of just like wanting to get this, I forget how you described it, but I almost saw it as like round and then right angles and then round again and then right angles, but always messing with the listener. Like now I think I get it, and then something else comes and like throws you off. And then to go into that clean major scale version of the same sort of rhythm and provide that relief and stuff. And so listen to it, but then I remember coming in and trying to explain it and just being like, oh, fuck, like, like had a whiteboard. It's like, okay, we'll call this the A part.
Yeah, right. And then
do as I do.
And it was just so hard to even for me to explain. So then it's nice. You realize why people came up with stuff like sheet music.
Right.
So the thing I liked about it is you have like a 1 second change. Probably 30 seconds into the song, then you have this little splinter of a change, and then you're onto your next thing.
Right.
And the guitar and bass soloing together is kind of cool, and y'all do that in another song too. But I really like that because that kind of reminded me of Billy Sheehan and Steve Vai when they used to do that stuff. So I thought that was cool. I liked your double picking you did. Towards the end of the song, you were doing some double picking. I thought that was really cool.
Fingers, like finger style.
And then you were doing some a classical guitar part. And I was like, oh, I wish you would have used a classical guitar. It would have sounded so good. But I thought that was interesting how the drums and the bass supported you on that song, because they could have just left your ass hanging out there in the wind playing that, but they supported you really well and helped you pull off that part of the song, and I thought that was really awesome. There's a lot of equal opportunity for solos. So I'm going to imagine that, well, pretty much the drums, he's pretty much playing something badass the whole time.
Yeah, dude.
But the guitar and bass, y'all really do a good job of trading off or playing together. Like I said, the double solo that y'all do together. Do y'all develop that separately or together? Or how do y'all develop, like, okay, we're going to play together now? Or do you go, hey, I was thinking about this thing. And how does that evolve?
Yeah, it kind of depends. Like sometimes in the practice, Riley will be like, oh, let's try to harmonize on something. And we'll just kind of like experiment with different things. Or one of us will go home and then think about something and come back and say, oh, let's try to solo here together or double up on these parts. And then it's just a lot of experimentation. It's like a lab in here almost.
Yeah, it can just be like, because I think I remember that part in Duodenum that you're talking about where it goes doom, doo, 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 and we're harmonizing.
Yeah.
And I remember just thinking, like, wouldn't it be cool if we just did like a really dorky Iron Maiden like part right here and just completely throw it off? But then Dustin, you went home with it and came up with the extended part that comes in the second repetition that then lays the groundwork for a key change in the bridge. So it's like a silly idea that kind of worked, became this sort of foundational element for piecing these two parts of it together that we were trying to figure out how to bring together into one song. So yeah, it's just kind of a stew of stuff.
Yeah. When y'all were soloing together, I actually heard like a few notes of Greensleeves. It was weird. It was because I think it's because the contrast between the notes y'all guys were playing, you know, because the version I know, dude's playing it on classical guitar, so he's really using all of his strings, and you know, with that bass end in there too, and you're playing high. I just started laughing. Nice. Not because it's bad, but because it evokes a lot of different funny thoughts as I'm listening to y'all's stuff.
Now I'm gonna have to re-listen to it. I'm gonna be like, "Where's Greensleeves, man?"
Yeah,
that's cool.
Struck it in.
But I like that about laughing because I like humor in music. Especially not just like funny lyrics or something, but like playfulness and humor and stuff. And I think we try to do that a fair amount.
Oh yeah.
And we like a lot of bands that do that, where you just kind of laugh to yourself.
We do this thing at concerts where we'll have like some dead space in songs when we're going to another part. We'll just sit for a second and people start clapping and then we come right back in. Like,
yeah, nice.
And then when the song's actually over, we're doing it again.
I think a good term for y'all is whimsical.
let's talk about the one that I loved the most, and I have a feeling Brent's going to agree with this. Laws of Variation.
All right.
Okay, so you guys have referenced Tool a lot. I didn't really hear it till this track.
Yeah.
Like the first thing I was like, ooh, that sounds like Tool. But not in a I'm mimicking Tool kind of way, but in a like I appreciate Tool kind of way. And there is a difference. And it had, to me, it has like a sway to it in the timing. And the only way I know how to explain it is it kind of felt dirty in all the right ways. Like, and that's kind of, I mean, just saying it did. And I was like, wow, okay. And it's another song like the other, which is literally the other song, that feels, again, like two songs to me. Sure. I really dug it. Like, I listened to it a couple times.
So this was my favorite song.
I knew it. Called it.
Yeah. I love the intro. And then the bass guitar's kind of rhythm riffs was cool. And then you let the bass take over. And I thought that was cool. So I was kind of trying to classify the song in a weird sort of way. So I'm going to tell y'all what I think it kind of sounds like. And then y'all tell me, oh, you're so far fucking off, dipshit. Starts off kind of a traditional metal feel, and then it moves to like a Tool, Seether, Steve Vai threesome.
See, it's dirty, but in the right ways.
Yeah. And the parts specifically, you know, as far as Tool goes, they carry a certain depth to them, and then Seether kind of has a punch to them, and then Vai is highly... Have y'all ever seen Steve Vai play?
Not in person, but on videos. Yeah,
yeah, videos.
It's fucking, he's got great hair. Fucking crazy. Crazy to watch him play live, because that's what y'all guys' songs sound like. Just, I mean, and it was primarily the guitar part, you know, that was the Vai fusion and stuff. But I thought it was really cool. And once again, your rhythm section is just fucking banging.
Dude,
good Lord.
You must have guns for arms. Like, because you are hitting those drums hard.
I'm getting old, too.
Well, you can't be old.
Well, it's funny because, like, people have come up to us and said, your drummer looks like he's not even playing, you know. But Brian is playing, but he's just very subtle, you know. Mm-hmm. He's not like Phil Collins, like, beating the shit out of the drums or anything.
It's just good form.
Yeah, it's just good form.
And a lot of dynamics, too. Like, we really realized that when we recorded, because it was... At first, it was almost like couldn't get a consistent sound, like a consistent volume, but then realized, well, that's actually perfect. That's part of the whole thing. Because sometimes when you hear drums on a record that just sound like samples, you know, because every single snare hit is the same. That's something I appreciate.
Yeah, trying to get like a live-ish feeling when we record instead of like having everything being overly processed. Like re-recording everything to the nth degree to where it just almost sounds kind of choppy. You know, we recorded that album in a basement of his cousin had like a little recording studio. And so we went there and Brian's cousin and just recorded the album. And so, you know, kind of has that kind of cool live feeling to it.
One of the songs was live, actually, because we couldn't play it to a click track.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. How much of it is actually live and how much it is multi-tracking, you know?
I think everything except that one was to a click track. But
Perceptual dichotomy.
Now, y'all kind of touched on this already, but I need to know, does everyone have a pedal board in that band? Because I can see the drummer having a pedal board in that band, too.
I do not.
Yeah.
I don't. I just play.
Nice. Crisp
and clean. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got just a very modest pedal board. Just try to keep it simple. I don't like it when people bring massive pedal boards in and they use like one pedal and that's it. So I don't like lugging a bunch of gear around either. So it's like, just have to go simple.
So how do you, other than your rhythm section, how do you get the punch out of your guitar? What gives you that, I'm going to assault you sound?
I don't know. Just turning the gain up really loud and boosting it.
He's old school. He's like, I don't know, dude, what would you do?
I turn it to 11.
It's just experimenting with tones, but I mean, I don't know. I used to be kind of a gear nerd, and I've kind of slowly gotten away from that. And a lot of it's just really practicing a lot and just, you know, listening and just practicing and trying to sound as best as you can, really. And then just kind of the gear is just kind of a tool, you know, just to kind of give you what you need. But at the end of the day, especially with stuff that we're writing, you know, I just got to practice all the time. You know, I have no life.
That's the thing, though. The less processing you have, the more precise you have to be. And yeah. A lot of the times people will kind of hide behind overprocessed. Right. Sound and then you read, like when I was a kid and I was trying to learn eruption, I was just like, I'll just turn up the delay really high and it sounds like I'm actually playing it,
right?
But you know,
and I used to really be into tube amps, and I recently bought a cheaper solid state amp that actually sounds really good for way cheaper, and so I've just been using that.
I was gonna say, I think solid state amps actually sound better for the type of music y'all are doing. I think tube amps, when you're doing blues, some country, some jazz, but if you're doing metal, normally you want a solid state.
how can our listeners find you?
Let's see, we're on Spotify, SoundCloud. Bandcamp is probably a good place to go.
Yeah, Bandcamp's awesome.
Yeah.
YouTube?
We've got Instagram and Facebook. So Instagram.
Can we find you at any city parks, you know, about 9 p.m. hanging out by the restrooms?
Yeah, right.
Most of them just have impromptu.
Yeah. Acoustic jams.
Back in college, remember, we were invited to play a 4th of July party in a park. And
oh, yeah.
No one told us that we were just playing for like 5 people among hundreds who didn't know we were going to be there.
And our drummer at the time, he was an alcoholic and was struggling when he'd been to like AA. And he was like, bought beer and he was walking it back. And his AA group was actually at a picnic table and he waved to him.
So it's happened. We have been hanging out in public parks is my point.
Yeah.
That was a fun interview. They're really nice.
I wish we could have had. Wish we could have had more time with them.
Yeah, but it was going on 40 minutes. So we're.
Okay. I know. It was too long, but you just kept talking. It wasn't me. I was quiet.
You were pretty quiet tonight. Stop it. I don't like it.
No, I was worried about the lamb screaming out in the night.
I was worried about you losing power. So.
Well, there was one point it was like big old flash and everything.
I know. I was like, oh, there goes Brent. There goes Brent. And you said, did y'all see that? Like a true redneck from Texas. Did y'all see that?
It was exciting.
It was so exciting. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for listening to our show again.
Thank you very much.
We love you.
Really appreciate it.
Please remember to download, comment, like, subscribe, and share.
You know what? Anywhere you can find us, like, and follow us. Oh, Everybody. Y'all ought to go check out our Patreon stuff because you can get access to the podcast interview before anyone else. And we're going to have some really cool people coming on and you can hear it first.
Oh, and also Brent made a Spotify playlist and has been sharing it along social media and people seem to really like it. If you would like a playlist somewhere other than Spotify, please let us know in like a comment section or something under that post where else you would like it, because we will see if we can put one there.
We'll put it where you like it.
And we'll put it there.
We'll put it there. That almost.
Who's your daddy?
We're going to put it there and you're going to like it.
Oh, that's what's going to get us canceled.
And that is the end of our show, folks. Yeah, so remember to make some.